today's guest is Amy Kelly, and Amy is a former middle school teacher with a little segue to helping her husband start a business, which she did not like. So, but she did it to support him, which I love, to now an entrepreneur. And the funny thing is that she's using her love of middle schoolers to develop online membership. And so she'll talk about that. She's super passionate about it. She really knows the middle schooler mentality. We talked a little bit about my oldest granddaughter, who's going to be in middle school next year. And then it recollected me of this, my middle school experience. A negative experience I had, which I shared, came up. It's amazing that I'm still not traumatized from it. So when you hear it, maybe you had something similar happen to you. But yeah, so we it's fun to walk down memory lane to when we were middle schoolers. But yeah, it was a great conversation. We even have an experience of living very close by to each other. She worked in the school system where I went to school. So we didn't even know that until we were having our conversation before I pressed record. So I hope you enjoy this episode and enjoy Amy as much as I did. So let's get to the interview now. Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had. So it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And my guest today is Amy Kelly, an easy name to pronounce. So right before I hit record, we were talking about, we have a similar, we lived in the same area, which was crazy. So I went, and my parents worked in Fairfax County Schools, and I spent my entire grade school through 12th grade in Fairfax County Schools, and she was a teacher there. So that is pretty crazy. Yeah. So yes. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you so much. I am so grateful to be one of your guests. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to talk about the topic because I don't have many guests who help middle schoolers. And I have a granddaughter who is 11. And even though she's a little bit younger, she's not in middle school yet. Next year, she acts like she's in middle school. She's quite... Well, yeah.
And that's something that we talked about. I think that that age where kids start hitting... you know, the place where they're vying for independence and they're separating a little bit more. I think that's getting younger and younger, whether that's because of the technology that we have or whatever. It's just a fact. Like kids are even physically developing faster, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you live in Texas now.
Yes.
And so at some point you moved from Virginia to Texas, and
yes.
you told me that you have two children, although they're now a little older than middle schoolers. But I love how you know, so many people who become entrepreneurs, start their own businesses, you know, it's a pivot from something they did before, but they take their wisdom and knowledge and stuff and package it into something new. So I would love for you to share the kind of the backstory of what drove you away from teaching, what drove you to want to create something and help people in a different way. Let's share that.
Sure. I would love to share that. So like you said, I was a middle school teacher for about 5 years before I had my own children. And I actually left teaching to stay home with my babies and didn't really ever go back to teaching formally, but I continued to work with middle schoolers through our church, like leading life groups. And there were a couple of conferences that I helped put together for middle schoolers. So I always kept my finger in the pie, I guess is the best way to put it, because middle schoolers are just my jam. Like I just have a love for them. I identify, and I think you have to be a little bit crazy to fit in there. And I guess I'm that brand of crazy. So
now middle school, just so people know, in Fairfax County, when I was there was 7th and 8th grade. Now is it still 7th and 8th grade?
I don't know in Northern Virginia in Fairfax County, if it's still 7th and 8th, I know here where I am in Texas, it is also 6th grade. So 6th, 7th and 8th.
Yeah. So my kids went to the next county over from Fairfax, and that was 6 through 8 as well. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so I think it is kind of flexible. What I talk about a lot on the podcast that I have is that in the same way that kids hit those developmental milestones when they're babies and toddlers, like maybe one learns to walk when they're 10 months old and one learns to walk when they're 18 months old. However, you know, there's a large span there. I think it's the same with middle schoolers. There's no timeline. There are just benchmarks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I was a year younger. And it's not because I have it's not like I'm gifted or anything, but my mother just wanted to get rid of me, I think, because I was the youngest and she wanted to go back to work. And so she put me into a private school and you could get kids in younger there. So I was a year younger, but nobody ever sat me down and said, Laura, you're actually a year younger than everybody, because I wasn't developing, you know, everybody else had boobs. I didn't have boobs. And I was embarrassed in the locker room. I remember I hated PE and I never wanted to change in front of anybody because everybody else was developing and I wasn't. And I thought there was something wrong with me, but I never expressed it. I never said anything to anybody because it's embarrassing. But if looking back, if only somebody had said, Lori, they're a year older than you, you know, it would have made so sense. You know, I was like, you know, and somebody used, there were these dolls that were flat. And you remember them, Flatsies? I don't know. Yes. You're a little bit younger than me.
Well, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a little jingle with the dolls and it was Flatsies, Flatsies, they're flat and that's that. And the boys at school, the boys at school would sing that song to me.
Oh, Lori, I am so sorry. Yes. If I had been your teacher, I would have just hugged you. And
I know it was terrible, but unfortunately, I recovered. I don't think I still have trauma from it.
Right.
Maybe I do.
Well, here's the thing. I think for me, having been a middle school teacher, both of my kids were born in August, like right up to the line. And so we actually waited. So they were kind of always the oldest in their classes, so that they didn't have that experience. Cause I had a friend who had an August birthday and she always talked about exactly what you just said. Like she develops more slowly. She was the last to get boobs. She was the last to get her driver's license, like all of the things. So
Do you have one of each? Do you have a boy and a girl?
I do. So my son is 20 and my daughter is 18 and they both have August birthdays. They were like 2 years and 2 weeks apart on the nose. So, So I stayed home with them until they were, I guess, 11 and 13, maybe 10 and 12. And my husband decided to start his own company. And so I helped him with that in a role that I was very unfamiliar and uncomfortable with. And that was doing the bookkeeping and the accounting. And it was so stressful and so challenging and so far out of my comfort zone. And I felt like I was drowning. And so what I did was I thought, you know, I need something for me that kind of like a lifeline to hold on to. And so I started a blog and it was called The Ish Girl's Dish. It's no longer, it doesn't exist anymore.
And what is The Ish? Because I know you like Gilmore Girls. Is there something from that? Okay.
No. So, so for me, my definition of ish girl, I'm the ish girl. And it means one who has humorous grace with herself when discovering she's messed up or flaked out. again. And so I feel like it's very related to what I now know is my ADD. You know, it's just that kind of, you know, I mess up a lot, but having that humorous grace is super important to me. And as I've gotten older, now that I've hit official middle age, I turned 50 last month. I feel like it's just growing into that place of being okay with it, things being messy and figuring out how to reconcile and come back to myself, but also with the people around me.
Yeah. So, and I think that we think people don't like messy, but people really like messy. And so we're so worried about not being messy when it's people like real people and pimples and all.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when I share my definition of what the Ishgrel means, people really respond to that because they exactly what we're saying. And it's, I'm not a Pinterest perfect kind of girl. So, So anyway, that blog eventually evolved into the podcast that I do now, which is called In the Middle of It. And it's geared specifically towards middle school parents and teachers. And what I'm really focusing on, because it's also something I love, is story, because I do feel like stories save lives, whether it's a story from a book, or a story from movies, or even stories within songs, and lyrics, and things like that. I think especially for middle schoolers to find something, to find themselves, to be able to see themselves in a story, whatever the format is life-saving. Because when you know you're not alone, that changes everything. So that's kind of my message. And I will be launching a membership very shortly, probably in March. And I will make sure that you have those dates to share in your show notes.
Yeah, I will. Because we're recording this early, but yeah, this will air. Right. About this. So timing, I think, will be really great. Yeah. What did you think of, because my kids, my, especially my younger daughter, loves stories, loves, she escapes into books. And I remember when she started reading, she would look at a book, and if it was too many pages or the type was too small, to be like, no, I can't read it. I can't read it. She wanted big, you know, it was so funny. It was so funny, but she started writing stories. I think she should be a writer because she has, there's a gift inside of her. Maybe it's someday. She has little kids right now. She's working full time, but she was the perfect age when Harry Potter came out.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And those things were consumed. She loved them. She even named, she named my dog one of the characters. It wasn't her dog. It was my dog, but yeah, Dobby. Dobby. And it really was like a coming of age series for her. And she escaped into those characters. And I think it was such a blessing for her to have.
Yes.
When she was a young, she was middle school, actually. Yeah.
That's interesting. I was teaching middle school when the first Harry Potter book came out. I distinctly remember I would have our school librarian come into my classroom and she would do book talks, and she would just basically pick four or five books to highlight and talk to the kids about. And I remember her holding up this book and she was saying, you know, I really don't normally like fantasy, but this is such a good book about a little boy who goes to boarding school and finds out he's a wizard and, you know, all the things that we now know. I think the true magic of Harry Potter is so many kids could see themselves in it. Like they could see themselves as the Hermione, the smart girl who is annoying, but saves the day so many times. You know, they could see themselves as kind of the picked on Harry Potter. Like the whole thing is just, J.K. Rowling is masterful. Mm-hmm. And I think truly, we're designed to learn from story. Like the way that our brains are activated when we're listening to story, it is as if we are experiencing what is happening to the characters within the story. And so we're learning from their, you know, mistakes or their whatever danger they're in and how they get out of it and all those kinds of things. So I totally get why Harry Potter resonates with so many of us.
Yeah. And I think there's a story in all of us, I like to say. In fact, I think there's multiple stories in all of us. Everybody thinks they have to have some profound. I remember Oprah did a show one time and it was about stories. It was really profound for me because she picked a random person out of the audience. And the person was like, I don't have anything, you know, I'm not special. I have nothing unique. And then she started asking her questions and, you know, this something came out of that. And the woman was kind of like, oh, wow. I didn't really think I had a story, but yes, I mean, and think of it like mini memoirs, you know, like periods in your life. And, but I think that's what I like to say is I think there's a book in all of us because we all have a story that I think is worth sharing and yes. that will make a difference to at least somebody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, that is something that I've talked about on my podcast previously, which is I kind of walk parents and teachers through a way to pinpoint stories that they can share with their middle schoolers for whatever occasion they're looking at. So, and it doesn't have to be the same thing. Like if your kid is going through bullying, it doesn't have to be a bullying story or anything like that. You're just really looking at the emotions that you had during that incident or a season of your life. And you figure out how to share that so that your kids know, hey, I know how you're feeling. Like, I know you're not alone. It goes back to that message. You're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So, and
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I just was going to say, I love that you're talking about that everybody has a story because I feel like the other gift that we can give our kids too is helping them realize that and showing them different ways that they can share their stories and what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So clearly when you transition from teaching, you're raising your kids and you had to help your husband. And I would say it's not something that was probably aligned with your gifts from you're talking about it. It was a need and you helped your husband, which I think is great that you're supporting him. But what did you learn in that process and how did you find your way? How did you get out of like being, you know, what you needed to be at the time and break away into like, I'm going to do what I want to do.
So I had to really practice good boundaries. And that was not something that I had to practice quite to that extent with my husband because that part of things was a difficult transition to go from, you know, just husband, wife to working together with him kind of in a role of being my supervisor. That was super fun.
Yeah. And did you get paid?
Oh yeah.
Oh
yes,
good.
Yes. I got paid. So, so there was that transition going on, but I feel like because of that, we learned a lot about each other. And at that point we had already been married for about 20 years. And so to be in a position to learn even more about each other, that really was a beautiful thing. And it was also so, well, I'll back up a little bit. I would say that the growth that I experienced as far as figuring out who am I, what are my gifts, and where does the boundary need to be within this role that I have within his company, I grew so much from that. And from that was able to really pinpoint, even though I haven't been in a middle school classroom for, you know, well over a decade, that is still where my heart is. That is still where my gifts are. And that is where I've experienced things that give me a wisdom that I can share. And so being able to do that while I was still working with my husband made it easier to kind of create a path of exit from his company, if that makes sense. And I have to say, he's been 100,000%, you know, supportive and working with me on that. But his business, which is a commercial construction company, is very structured. And so it had to be a very intentional and deliberate path out. So we did that. We just kind of set some expectations as far as this is when my end date will be. And this is what it will look like for me to basically, I created documentation of all my systems and processes and those kinds of things, and then just passed it off to the next person.
And I think the love you showed to jump in there and learn something from scratch and contribute to his what he wished for, what his desires were,
his dream
helped in the long run with him supporting mm-hmm. what you're going to do.
For sure.
Yeah. One thing that came to mind when you were talking about like doing this, that, you know, you knew, fortunately you set boundaries and, you know, you had an exit strategy, but often what doing something we don't like is leads us to what we do like. So, in, you know, instead
Absolutely.
Of like some people dabble, oh, I like that. And they think, oh, you know, I have to find what it is I like. Well, you can rule things out by doing what you don't like, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think there's a quote somewhere where God screams and it, you know, God whispers when things are going well, but he screams at it through my pain, like that kind of thing. And there were points that were painful, you know, because I made lots of mistakes as someone doing accounting, and I have stopped saying, I refuse to say anymore that I'm not a numbers girl because I refuse to limit myself that way. But I will say that numbers are super challenging for me and I have to work really hard. And so I made lots of mistakes and ones that hurt. And so that experience really propelled me to want to do the things that I'm doing now. So, and to figure out how to do it. Like it gave me a lot of motivation to figure out how to do what I needed to do.
Yeah. I used to say that, you know, I wasn't good in math, but it's just that I don't have any desire to sit down and look at a spreadsheet, you know,
Thank
it
you.
Does not yes. like get me excited about my day. So,
well, for me too, it feels like my brain is scrambled eggs sometimes. Like I have to, you know, I have to be very intentional about taking breaks and, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So yeah. Tell me about how long did you work with your husband doing this? What was the time frame?
So we started the company in 2014 and I exited at the beginning of 2020, right before the pandemic. And so I guess it was about 6 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Working together.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Not doing what you love. So what I love is that you are preparing for the empty nest. You are
for sure.
So many people like the empty nest comes and they're like, you know, heck, now what? And so you kind of got that figured out. I like that.
Well, and you know what? I'm going to speak to that a little bit because I think it's very important, not just for me, but for my kids to know and see that I have something else going on and that they are not the center of my universe. As much as I adore and love them and they know that, I have my own dreams and I'm pursuing them. And I think that is a gift that we can give our kids as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what is your vision for this membership? Because you told me it's a beta, right? So it's like you're just starting out and that must be exciting. Trying
it
to like,
very,
you know, yeah, yeah.
Very.
So starting to evolve into something. Yeah,
yes. Real. And that's what I was going to say. I'm sure it will evolve from what I'm going to describe right now. But what I see it as is I'll have like, different content every week. And part of that will be a book / movie / music club of the month, like a book club or, you know, where we will sit and talk as parents and teachers about a particular young adult novel or a show or things like that. So that will be part of it. And then also I have found that it is so helpful when you're dealing with your middle schoolers to really understand developmentally what they're going through. Because once you understand the different things that are absolutely normal, maybe not pleasant, but normal that your middle schoolers are going through, it gives you a whole different level of patience and awareness and compassion really for them. And then also just learning different strategies, like asking open-ended questions and what that can look like to really help guide your middle schoolers towards your, you know, the values, beliefs, and priorities that you have. So really nailing those down and talking about those and talking about what that looks like in real life. Like, it's super easy to sit on a podcast and talk about, well, if you're, you know, when your middle schooler rejects your advice and wants to take their peers' advice instead of yours, you know, here's a question that you can ask. So it's easy to talk about that. It is so much harder in the moment. And so a lot of what I talk about also that will be involved in this membership that I'm creating is self-management, because I feel like as parents and as teachers, you really have to manage your own like fight, flight, or freeze response in order to show up as the grown-up with your middle schoolers, right? Because they sound like adults sometimes. They maybe even look like adults, but they are not little adults. Like, their brains. I like to talk about the fact that developmentally, if you think about a baby, a newborn baby, and how that baby grows and changes until they're 3 years old. And I mean, that's significant growth that you can literally see almost day by day how they're changing and how they're gaining language and knowledge and all that. Our middle schoolers, when they go through puberty, when they start that process, that is the same kind of transformation that they're having, from the way that their bodies are changing, the way that their minds are changing, the way that their emotional intelligence is changing. It's the same. And so it's not as dramatic visually, but it is as dramatic as far as physiologically what they're going on, what's going on with them.
And I imagine that it's so beneficial to have a community, especially around times like a pandemic, mm-hmm. where you can share, you know, the thing that was really, I struggled with as a parent, my sister was really good at coming up with creative punishments. Not that her kids were that bad, but if something happened, like they had a big fight over who was going to do the dishes or something, and she would have, like, she had the best like ideas. And I would be like, I can't, if I could just think of creative ideas. But when you have other people that you can bounce things off of, I love that. I think it's really helpful. Kind of for like a collective of, like, you know, brainstorm how you could try something and then, do
right.
it.
Yeah. Right. Because I think what we're looking for isn't so much a punishment as it is a discipline, and discipline in the sense that an athlete is disciplined in how they do things. Like, you're working with your kids to show them, you know, a better way. Like, and what was the example you used was your kids fighting over having to
do... her kids, I can remember a specific thing that she did they had to do dishes and they alternated nights. And they had a notebook in the drawer in the kitchen. And when you finished your chore, like, one had to like do the dishes and one had to set the table. Like, it was
okay. Right.
And you had to sign your name that you did your chore or you did your whatever. And if you didn't, then, you know, you had to do it again the next night. So one of them did the dishes one night. The next night, she forgot to write it in the book. And it was like, my sister just like washed her hands of it. It was like, the rule is you write it here. It's not here. So whose problem is that? It's your problem.
Right.
They were like, yeah. So it wasn't like, and it was funny because they were twins and, and so very, very, you know, like, you think, oh, I'll do it for you. I know. Sorry. You know, I just think there's a synchronicity with twins, you know, you know, maybe you'd be more as a sibling, but siblings are siblings and dishes are dishes. And you do not want to do dishes two nights in a row. I wouldn't even want to do dishes two nights in a row. So the one sibling held to her ground. She was not going to do the dishes if her sister had not filled out, you know, she was not going to do the dishes. And her sister begged and begged and begged, please, 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 you know, oh, you know, I did them. You saw me do them. I was right here doing them. you know, they stuck to the rule, and that was, there was no signature. And that my niece never not signed her name on that.
Right. Well, and here's what I love about that, because I feel like what you just described is a system, so that your friend or your sister.
My sister. Yeah.
Your sister.
She was a teacher.
Oh, okay. Okay. that explains a lot, I think, because she created a system where she didn't have to be the one to, it wasn't personal between her and her kids. And she wasn't trying to decide or a referee or any of those things. It was just a very simple laying out your expectations. And I think it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and not reach a point where you're being, and she was super intentional, right? She was very intentional. Here's how we're going to do the dishes, all the things. Yeah. So the more intentional you can be, the more you're taking yourself out of the fray.
I think a lot of parents, they get all caught up and, oh, I feel so bad for my child. And oh yeah, you did do the dishes last. And so they don't even follow the rules. They break the rules. And then that teaches that, oh, okay, the system doesn't work. So that's another key point. We end up feeling so bad for our kids as parents. It's like, you know, toughen up a little, let them experience life, because it's going to be something at work next time.
For sure. And I think a lot of that is saying what you mean and meaning what you say. And if you're teaching your kids that you don't mean what you say, like, you're setting both of you up for a lot of pain, I think, whether it's in the moment of doing dishes or whether it's later on, you know. Mm-hmm. So, that's great. I love that.
Yeah. So as we close up and wrap up, I guess I should say, you know, I always like to end with what does living not your average life mean? And I love that what you answered. Do you remember what you answered, or you want me to refresh your memory?
Just read it before we got on. Can you read it for me?
Yeah. Well, you say following your dreams and passions is going to be messy. So messy, but it's worth it because the world needs your wisdom and experience.
Yes. So,
yeah.
Yes.
I love that.
Following your dreams, even though it's going to be messy. And then I still go back to, that's the very best thing that you can do for your kids. It's the very best thing to show them that it's messy and that's okay. And then to just keep putting yourself out there and sharing what you have been created to give the world. That's what I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. I, it's so powerful what you can be as a role model to your children and your grandchildren. And because I have grandchildren now, that it's really front and center, because their minds are still forming about, you know, people and how they can be inspired and influenced by people. I remember my grandparents, and they were ancient at my age, you know, and they did not do the things that I did. And I do not want to be that to my, I do not want to be that example to my grandchildren. I want them to look forward to getting to be my age. And I want them to think, you know, I'm nanny to them. And I want them to think, when they think of nanny, they think of fun. You know, they think that I want to spend time with nanny. I don't just, like, you know, want her to come here and sit and not interact and that sort of thing. So, yeah. All right. We're having a little technical difficulties. So we're just going to wrap up. The timing is actually really good for this, because Amy's in a hotel room and she's like on COVID duty for her. Is it your mother-in-law?
My mother-in-law. Yes.
Yeah. So just any last words?
No, I think just what we were talking about. I love what you're talking about as far as wanting to be a nanny that your grandkids are looking forward to the age that you are now, and they're seeing how you embrace life and enjoy it. I have to say, my mom has done a really good job of that. A couple of years ago, we did a big family vacation to celebrate my parents' 50th anniversary, and my mom, like, zip lined over a lake in Colorado at, you know, 70 something, which I think is fabulous. Like, and that is what I love about what you're doing, Lori, is showing. Mm-hmm. I love what you call it, not your average grandma.
Yeah. Yeah. I took my two grandkids, the oldest two, to a trampoline place.
Oh,
I mean, sometimes I do feel like when they're with me, I'm like, you know, you go right back to that place where you feel like a mom again, you know? But sure. I took him to this trampoline place, and I never had a trampoline, but we had a pool in our backyard, and I used to do flips off the diving board. And I thought, let me try. They had this big foam like pit, and you could like bounce, 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 and flip into it. And I wanted to show them that Nanny could do a flip. That was like, I was so scared. I can't tell you how many times I bounced down there. And there was like, ah! You know, and I finally did it. And then once you do it, it's like, oh, it's like getting back on a bicycle. It's like, oh, I could do that again. But yeah, it was so much fun to do that. And, you know, I just like look forward to doing more stuff like that with them just to show them that, you know, age is just a number. So
age is just a number. That is right. So I love that. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me today.
Yeah, thank you.
Visit with you, and I've enjoyed our conversation so much.
Yes. Yes. And we'll keep in touch because I'm eager to hear how your membership does. And we'll put the, you know, links and time frame in that once. So people have that when it airs. All right.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.